Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Make Tain Traces of Soy, the podcast all about surviving and thriving on a plant-based, low-waste lifestyle. I'm your host, Rochelle, and if you're new around here, thank you for joining us. Really psyched to have you listening today. If you're a regular listener, welcome back, soybeans. Really glad that you guys keep coming back every single week. If you are new around here, you won't know this, but we do shout-outs on this show. So if there is a question that you have or a topic that you'd like covered or even an interview you'd like to see us do, you can contact us on Instagram. We are at Make Tain Traces of Soy, or on Facebook, and we'll do a shout out for you on the next show. This week, I'm really excited because we are talking with a vegan activist, and the experience that Chris has had is just absolutely amazing. It's so interesting talking through what he's done in this field, and I'm just so grateful that he was able to come on the podcast. So without any further ado, here is my interview with Chris Hiraway. I'm lucky enough to be joined on the podcast this week by Chris Hiraway, and Chris is from New Zealand, or I'm going to try and pronounce it correctly, the actual name, Aotearoa. I think I've got that right. I'm not sure. I'm sure that Chris will be able to correct me, but he is an activist. He's a content creator. He's co-founder of the Aotearoa Liberation League and three-time street unicycle world champion. Because why not? Chris also works with the Vegan Society. He is the co-producer and main narrator of the recent documentary film Milked that takes a targeted look at the New Zealand dairy industry. This came out in November of last year, and it's already taken out awards at the Germany International Film Festival, the IndieFest Film Awards, and the Spotlight Documentary Film Awards. It even received a rave from James Cameron, who called it a powerful wake-up call that the world is getting milked. Kia ora, Chris. Thank you for being on.
Kia ora, Rochelle. Kia ora. Thank you for having me on. Aotearoa is the name. Aotearoa, but beautiful pronunciation, beautiful, beautiful attempt. It's a difficult one. There's a lot of different things about Maori pronunciation and how we blend our vowels together and drag out certain things. But I very much appreciate the attempt. Thank you so much. And yeah, again, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm really psyched to have you on and get into some of the wonderful topics that we're going to cover today. But let's just like jump right into it and talk about online activism in the vegan movement. The whole reason that we're doing this interview is because found each other on TikTok. I'm thoroughly enjoying what you're doing for the New Zealand Vegan Society on there. And I love that the way that you are bringing humor into your online activism. So what kind of role do you see online activism playing in the vegan movement?
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's so humbling and nice to hear people appreciate your humor. You know, I mean, creating funny little TikTok videos is a new thing for me. I started my advocacy or activist journey as a vegan advocate on Facebook. When Instagram came along, I was reluctant to get on Instagram. When TikTok came along, I was reluctant to get on TikTok. And so now I've finally caught up and decided to get involved in TikTok. I've been really enjoying it, you know, and even like some of my friends who don't try and make viral content, for example, but they share their personality in ways that I've not seen before. TikTok seems to bring out a different creative side in people. So I'm actually really enjoying the app. I didn't think I would. I thought I'd just go on there to make some silly little videos and create some opportunities for vegan advocacy. But I actually kind of like the app, which is funny because, you know, social media, there's so many potential downsides to it. But like everything, it's a tool. And if you can use it in the right way, it can be incredibly powerful. So yeah, really enjoying the TikTok space and glad it brought us together.
Yeah, TikTok is really interesting because on Instagram, you very much find a lot of aspirational content, but on TikTok, it's really trumped by relatable content. So I feel like honesty comes forward a lot more in TikTok, and that might be how I curate my feed, but it's definitely what I see more of. And the way that you sort of weave a bit of humor in, and I also love to see you using language as well, like using Maori language. I think that's so amazing. I think it's so important to see more of that out there and to just, yeah, have it just be a part of how we're interacting in online spaces.
Absolutely. And yeah, and I just have to say a little plug, right? I'm trying to get to 1,000 followers. So if you're out there and you've got TikTok, because I really want to try to do live vegan outreach, you know, to see the live feature seems to do really well in terms of interacting. But yeah, honesty and relatability on TikTok seems to be the thing. I'm really, really new to the platform. So if anyone has any tips or ideas for me to grow on TikTok, really appreciate it. But yeah, in terms of adding in te reo Māori into my TikToks, you know, I just try to add as much flavor of Aotearoa, of this country into these videos, because like you say, that relatability aspect, when we see stuff that's really authentically us, and then there's also humor added into it, and then also some information, some learning, it's a really effective way to package all of that stuff into one thing and make it a complete relatable little video for someone. So yeah, I try and make relatable content for vegans, but really I can't take too much credit for my videos. I mean, the jokes that I make are generally like memes, like famous vegan memes. And I think maybe like every third video or second video is like something that I've had in terms of an original thought. But like I've been on Facebook for a long time. I love memes and I'm always sharing memes. TikTok has just like provided a new, different kind of space to repurpose those memes and those messages within those memes. And now to reach a different audience. And the people that I've been interacting with on TikTok, I engage in the comments section and often have like quite good, productive conversations, like quite effective outreach, which is why I'm inspired to get involved with doing live vegan outreach through TikTok when that option becomes available.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic platform to explore that. And it can be a way to reach people who might not have thought to look at veganism or, you know, to discuss it with their friends. I think finding that sideways path to take the, you know, taking a path where you're engaging in such a way that has a sense of humor like that really does help people to relate more and then understand where you're coming from. And I think it also just is genuinely quite funny. It's, you know, it sort of provides a more relatable and just a more friendly face on veganism, which I think is something that we do still have to be mindful of, especially with new vegans, because with people who are first kind of looking into the movement, there can be a lot of gatekeeping and there can be a lot of intensity, and it can be quite uncomfortable, and a lot of people are uncomfortable with the learning period. So I think that that humor really helps.
Oh, definitely. And I'm representing the vegan society of Aotearoa as well. So I try to come at it from a bit of a positive angle, and the philosophy of the society is very much to try and create as much of a welcoming atmosphere as possible. You know, all about meeting people where they're at, giving them support, trying to be as non-judgmental as possible. You know, so sometimes in some of my TikToks I kind of make fun of us, of vegans, because we can be quite judgmental at times, and I think it's okay for us to acknowledge that and to laugh at it. But yeah, there's so much gatekeeping, like you said, and things like that. It's really important for us to think about how we're viewed by outsiders, you know. And I'm an activist first and foremost, and so how we're viewed by the public, by the media, by just people that we outreach to is very much something that's often on my mind. And really, you know, if you can create that friendly atmosphere, have a laugh with someone, that really breaks down barriers and helps them to see you as a human being, which often, you know, doesn't happen when people look at vegans or vice versa even. So if we can have a laugh together, especially in videos where we're kind of a little bit making fun of each other, but it ends with a laugh, I think that's the best one, because it connects us and helps to remind everybody that we're all individuals, but that we still share some commonalities, like being able to laugh together.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've actually got quite an extensive background as far as content creation and video and, you know, social media goes. You've got multiple YouTube channels that you manage or that you've been on, at the very least, from what I could find. Mm. So you've definitely got the kind of skills there. How do you think TikTok compares with sort of YouTube? Because it's such a different style and such a different platform.
It's totally a different style. I would say I haven't cracked the YouTube algorithm yet, and I haven't really given it a whole lot of time. Facebook was what I first got involved in. And then after that, I started making some more like long form videos, informative videos, and making those long form informative videos haven't really done too well. And so, yeah, it's very clear that the world seems to be moving towards short form videos. Even Facebook is pumping extra funding into reestablishing or improving their short form video interface for viewers. And so, yeah, TikTok, kind of ahead of the game in terms of creating the best user face and also tools within the app for content creation. It's where the majority of people seem to be these days in terms of watching that content. It's where all of the youth are going. And if we're doing advocacy, especially around veganism, that's such an important demographic for us to be outreaching to. So I think it's great to be kind of everywhere. But if you're wanting to focus on actually reaching people, then TikTok, to me, seems like it is the space. I mean, so now I have experience creating a documentary, Milked, with Amy Taylor, who's our director, incredible director. And, you know, getting people to screenings is very difficult. We're, you know, post-COVID, well, during COVID times, still affecting many people, many places. We recently had a screening. And, yeah, a lot of feedback from people is that, hey, COVID is an issue. And it is discouraging people. And of course, now it's turned into a really, really long video or movie that is posted on YouTube. And yeah, it's over an hour and a half. So it is good in terms of providing information. But, you know, I've been seeing a lot of people take clips from it, cut it up and put it on their own TikToks, which I think is fine. And sometimes those smaller short form videos seem to get maybe not more views than the YouTube video, but it's definitely a clearly good place to disseminate information. These smaller videos that I've seen posted on TikTok, usually shared by like small creators and whatnot, if those videos were shared by a really popular creator, it could potentially, you know, really, really blow up more than it has on YouTube. So in comparison, yeah, different platforms, good for different things, but we always need to be able to adapt and to look at what's happening. If people get stuck on one platform like I did, you can get left behind. I really encourage people to get into short form videos, whether you're on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok. Short form seems to be definitely the future. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But then the complexity of that comes with it is that some of these issues are far too robust to fully encapsulate within short form. And especially when you're doing activism and when you're talking to really complicated, you know, issues, it can be so hard even to do the video or to, you know, reply to comments, because the amount of time you need and the amount of space, the amount, you know, length of video, et cetera, it just isn't there. So finding that balance for your tone as well can be quite difficult, but I think that you're doing a great job on TikTok. So we'll talk about some more tips when we finish the interview, because I've done a little bit of research recently. So,
oh, thank you.
But yeah, let's talk about your vegan story. I would love to hear about how you became vegan, because yeah, in the documentary, it was really interesting to hear you talk about your experience of growing up and, you know, having milk on your Weet-Bix every day, and how you go from that life of believing, you know, the dairy industry in New Zealand and all of that was such a great thing to sort of coming around to vegan activism.
Yeah, sure. So I've always loved animals, and I'm the youngest in my family. I think it was kind of always my responsibility to go around and feed the animals, whether it was the cats or the dogs or the chickens or the rabbit. That was always my responsibility. So I've always had a close relationship with the animals. And I was homeschooled after the age of 8 and had a really lonely upbringing after that stage, but I had animals around me. So yeah, just spent a lot of time on what I guess you'd call a farm, call it a lifestyle block. We had kind of two of everything. We even had two cows, and yeah, I spent a lot of time with them, bringing them snacks and stuff, you know, seeing how they react to X, Y, Z, watching them clean themselves, drink water, and all the funny little quirky things that animals have. So having a close relationship with them, and then realizing that it's actually possible to eat other things. It's so normalized consuming animal products that you don't even think about vegetarianism. So we have a lot of people who really love animals, but simply because eating animal products is so normalized, it's never questioned. So I don't know what happened. Maybe I saw an ad from an animal rights group or something along those lines, or I got on whatever the social media was at the time and saw some kind of link to something. But eventually I learned about the documentary Earthlings, and that was really my first wake-up call to what is happening. I didn't go vegan straight away. I went vegetarian when I was about 13. That was actually before watching Earthlings, but I was vegetarian, then watched Earthlings. And then I also learned about the environmental harm of animal agriculture. And, you know, here in Aotearoa, really loving the environment. I grew up next to my river, Mangatawa. And this is a river that I like could spend all day, every day at. And it was just absolute treasure to have that there. You know, that was my way to connect with the environment, connect with the universe, connect with animals and all those beautiful things. Then, you know, the understanding that I had that aspect of our existence, having beautiful natural spaces to interact with, was threatened by animal agriculture. I started to realize that I shouldn't just make it a personal choice to avoid these products. I should actually be trying to talk to other people about these issues, because this is our collective well-being that we're talking about in terms of what's being impacted. It's not just me as an individual who loves animals and doesn't want to eat animals. This is actually something that, you know, an industry, a corporation is doing, hurting our collective good for their own private gain. So from there, putting everything together, I realized, whoa, actually, I need to be a vegan. And so as soon as I went vegan, that's pretty much when I got involved with activism and advocacy. I watched Forks Over Knives and became a real health advocate in terms of adopting veganism. You know, a lot of people in my family and neighborhood, you know, it's a low socioeconomic area, a very Maori dominated area. And my people, we've got so many issues because of colonization and because of the disconnect that was forced on us from our colonization, us now having to live in, you know, a colonial health system, a dietary pyramid that doesn't suit our, you know, our cultural needs. And so, of course, our negative health statistics come through in that, and our diet, what we consume, is quite dominated by animal products and, of course, you know, processed flour and baked goods and potato chips and that kind of junk food. And for me, I saw veganism as a way for a lot of people to get out of that system. You know, I was learning about things like a whole foods plant-based diet reversing heart disease, diabetes, and the fact that cancer rates were a lot lower for people who consumed food that way. And so, yeah, I started talking to people about that, raising awareness around the health benefits. And then fast forward a couple years, and I moved to Tāmaki Makaurau, Auckland City, our biggest city here in Aotearoa. And I, from there, met other animal rights people, right, you know, hardcore activists, animal rights people. And from there, I got involved with the more, how would you put it, in your face type activism, you know, doing Anonymous for the Voiceless cubes. My friend Daniel started the first Anonymous for the Voiceless chapter in Auckland, And we rolled with that for a few years. I no longer associate with Anonymous for the Voiceless. I'm not a big fan of them anymore. But I can definitely acknowledge a lot of people involved in doing that activism are really hardworking, well-intentioned, beautiful people. I just have some disagreements more with the leadership structure and some of their more broader philosophical points in terms of their leadership. But the activists themselves, I have a lot of love and respect and really think that the Cube of Truth action is a great form of advocacy. Yeah, and then made a documentary, and now working with the Vegan Society of Aotearoa and also working on my own group, which I run with my partner, Summer, which is called Aotearoa Liberation League. And one of the main things we do through Aotearoa Liberation League is draw links between colonization and animal agriculture. Not a lot of people know, but colonization and animal agriculture, animal agriculture, especially in the terms of Britain coming here to Aotearoa, it was animal agriculture which drove that colonial mission. You know, in England, they needed more land, they needed more area so that they could grow animals to fuel their war machine, which was colonizing other countries all around the world. And so they saw Aotearoa as the perfect place to establish a new farm for Britain. And so, you know, the Crown came here through all sorts of dodgy ways, stole land from Māori, from Tangata Whenua, and there are still currently policies and whatnot being rolled out today to try and make amends for stolen land. But just like I'm sure how it is in Australia with the Indigenous people of Australia, there will be a lot of pushback from the government in terms of their supposed responsibilities to make amends for the harm that has been perpetuated over many, many, many years to our Indigenous people, not just here in Aotearoa, but Australian, all around the world. But I feel like there's somewhat of a resurgence going on in terms of recognizing the rights of Indigenous peoples. But yeah, so that's something we try to talk about as much as we can on Aotearoa Liberation League. We have a YouTube channel where we make more long form videos, but like I'm saying, I think the short form videos are probably more effective. And so it's probably what we're going to try and move into. But we do try to provide a lot of information and research to people so that they can understand those more complex issues that are tied in with animal agriculture, such as colonization and the need to address animal agriculture, not just because of all of the reasons, animal rights, environment, health, but also because it's somewhat of a colonial crime here in Aotearoa. And it's one, and I believe using that as a bridge to address animal agriculture through a decolonial lens is an incredibly powerful one. And there's a really great opportunity there for us to take that avenue in terms of getting better outcomes for animals.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually an area I'm really interested in because you see a lot of, or I see a lot of BIPOC creators in the vegan community who are talking to these issues, and they're talking to the fact that colonization has interrupted, you know, diets for Indigenous peoples and for people who their societies have been interrupted by colonization. The diets are interrupted, and it's all basically to, like you say, bring animals there, farm them there. And it's interesting to see people talking about that because in veganism, we do have a real issue with white supremacy that hasn't been properly addressed. And it definitely is an area that as a whole community, we need to stop and look at, you know, are you being intersectional in your veganism? If you're an intersectional feminist, you know, you stop and you consider where is your lane and what should you be doing? And are you raising up voices around you? Are you sitting down and being quiet when it's time to sit down and be quiet? And I think that we're kind of yet to reach that point in the veganism movement. And I think there's a lot of work to be done there. So I think that's really interesting to hear you talk about that. Veganism, obviously, it's a movement. It's been rightfully criticized for that lack of representation. And we see an awful lot of white veganism out there. And the word vegan comes from the 1944 Vegan Society statement. But BIPOC communities were practicing plant-based lifestyles a long time before that. And it's not properly acknowledged quite often. So it's really interesting to hear you speak on those topics.
Oh yeah, and I love this topic. I mean, if my partner was here, we just filmed a short form video of her reciting a poem from Al-Ma'arri, who was a real like old school practitioner of ahimsa, and he pretty much gives the first written example, I guess you could say, of a kind of vegan lifestyle. He even references avoiding honey. And so he takes it deep on the veganism. And, you know, indigenous peoples have had these notions of our entire world being interconnected and relying on, you know, these interconnections. And so from my perspective, thinking about the lessons from my ancestors, my tupuna, and how I believe they would feel about this issue, considering it causes so much destruction, so much violence, so much severing of ties between us and the natural world because of the harm that it causes, they would be doing absolutely everything to end this catastrophe that's currently taking place. And at the very least, becoming aware about it instead of this blissful ignorance that we see from most people. And, you know, I mean, I can get very bitter and upset about that blissful ignorance, but, you know, we can't really blame people for that blissful ignorance. The system sets it up this way to make people docile, you know, and placid, and it's a real struggle for people to fight against this blissful ignorance. But yeah, you know, we see a lot of white supremacy in the vegan movement, but we see a lot of everything in the vegan movement. You know, like I would say the vegan movement has now become so wide. It's literally a reflection of the public. It's just, you know, because we come in all shapes and sizes, us vegans. But yeah, like all social justice spaces with blind spots, veganism and vegans, we definitely have ours, and broadening perspectives, helping people to widen how they view social justice as vegans is something that's really important to me, because, you know, the world is moving on. Everyone's realizing that we are interconnected and that we are all a part of each other and whatnot. And if vegans don't catch up and start to have a more holistic view on what is going on in the world, then yeah, no one's going to take us seriously. If all we're going to do is talk about animals, and particularly talk about animals in a way that puts down other social justice movements, then people are just going to completely cast us aside, consider all of our perspectives. You know, there's a lot of vegans out there that give us bad names and whatnot. They're just going to cast us all aside, cast all of our opinions aside because of a few bad, I don't want to say eggs. What's a good... you know what I mean? A few bad apples. There we go.
Yeah.
A few bad apples. But yeah, I've tried not to be too hard on us, because I do kind of just see us as a reflection of the public, and the public in general is racist and stupid and, you know, doesn't know what's going on, because of course the system sets us up that way to be so blissfully ignorant about everything, and for us to just go along with propping up the current system, which is oppressing all of us. And so it's difficult for us to name things and to learn about the weaknesses of ourselves, because those are the weaknesses of the system. So it's hard for us to point and, you know, really analyze and improve on those things. So yeah, I got a lot of love for vegans. I think we have an amazing community. But at the same time, just like every other space, we've got a lot of stuff that we need to work on.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of good intentions, and I think a little bit of understanding and, you know, self-education and really digging in and sort of like examining what you're thinking, where you're coming at these different topics from is really important. So I think those are such good points. But let's do a quick shout out for all of your projects that you have coming up, because there are so many things happening, so much stuff for people to check out. We're going to drop all of the links, obviously, in the show notes today. So definitely go down there and have a look. Go and say hi to Chris. You can find him on TikTok as at The Vegan Society NZ. And you can obviously go and find his YouTube channel. And we'll put all the links down there. But throw it over to you there, Chris. Tell us what they should go check for.
Thanks. Yeah. And definitely check out our documentary, Milked. It's on YouTube, and it's also on the platform Waterbear, which is like it's kind of like a Netflix for environmental documentaries. It's all about the dairy industry of Aotearoa. It's not too graphic. There's kind of a couple scenes But generally, we try to stay away from graphic and confrontational stuff. It's more about information statistics around the environment, also the economy and health. But yeah, we try to make it as palatable as possible. So if you're worried about that kind of thing, it's definitely not Dominion 2 or Earthlings 2. So yeah, definitely recommend. It's at milked.film. And you can follow us on our socials for Milked as well to see updates about the film. Unfortunately, I won't be too much more involved with the film. Just, you know, some unfortunate disagreements in-house, and we've kind of agreed to part ways at this point moving forward. But I definitely recommend that people still check out the film and support the film. But work that I'll be doing moving forward will be through Aotearoa Liberation League, which is all.org.nz. That's our website. And through our website, you can find all of our social medias, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, all of it. And as well, yeah, just myself to explore this like vegan comedy side, I am on TikTok as Vegan Society NZ and trying to make a video every day. Who knows if I'll be able to keep that up, but I'm looking forward to the one that I'm about to release. I filmed it just before and I'm going to release it soon. I'm like actually excited. Oh, I feel really silly getting excited about it, eh? But I am excited about it, to be quite honest. It's been enjoyable just making the videos, you know, like when I was a kid, I was kind of like the class clown, and I feel like I'm kind of tapping back into that childhood spirit again. So I'm enjoying it. And final plug, if people appreciate the work that I do through Aotearoa Liberation League, on our website, you can find a donate link, which sends you to our Ko-fi. Currently, me and my partner are, you know, we're trying to get as out of the system as possible, which basically means we're unemployed. But we're trying our best to become full-time activists. And yeah, so if there's support from people out there, we'd really appreciate it. But other projects that I have, there's a few disruptions, actions that we're planning here in Aotearoa. I shouldn't say too much, eh? There's a few things going on in Aotearoa. It's an exciting space at the moment. Lots of new blood coming through in the activism space, and also a lot of our I guess I can call them more seniors, more experienced crew are being a bit revitalized and coming up with some discussions of things, which is really exciting because I got into the activism space, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and to see this kind of convergence, return of the old and also coming up of the new is very exciting for me at the moment.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being on today, Chris. It's been so great chatting with you.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Rochelle.
That was my interview with Chris. You'll be able to go and find all of Chris's links in today's show notes. You can go and check out the Aotearoa Liberation League, which Chris and his partner have founded. And you can also go check out the documentary film Milked. So really excited to share that interview with you guys this week. I really enjoyed it, and I'm so grateful that Chris was so giving of his time to do the interview with me. So I'll drop all the links in the show notes below. Definitely head down there and have a look. Check it all out. Go and follow Chris for the Vegan Society New Zealand on TikTok. That is at Vegan Society NZ, all one word. And yeah, just go and check out our show notes as well to go and have a look at some of our links. We are doing some YouTube videos, which is very new for us here. So if you want to go have a look at some of those, you can find the link in the show notes today. And you can go and follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. We are at Make Attain Traces of Soy. Remember that if you're enjoying the podcast, if you leave a little rating or review on whatever platform you're listening on, that definitely helps to push the podcast out there so that more people will see it and hopefully spread that non-judgmental vegan message. Thanks so much for being here this week, guys, and we will catch you in a week.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.